No, Rabbi, say good evening, everybody. And shakayach to everybody for coming to join the shiur. Rami, to what time is the shiur?
12 minutes.
What's that?
12.
12 minutes, okay. I don't know, what does that mean? 25 minutes, okay. So I...
When you start seeing them leave, you know it's on.
Avrami called me over the weekend and Avrami said, "No, can you say a shiur for the Olam?" I said, "No problem, Gesinta Hayit." I said to Avrami, "So, no problem, but give me the topic. What do you want me to speak about?" So Avrami says, "I have the perfect subject for you. The subject for you is taking the law into your own hands." I'm not really sure why my brother would pick the subject. It doesn't seem to be he does not seem to me to be a very violent fellow, so I have no idea why he picked the subject, but he's speaking about a subject which is called self-help. Right? Anybody familiar with what's called self-help? Self-help means, right, what would you do, for example, if a person parked in front of your driveway? Parks his car in front of your driveway, you're trying to get out, you're trying to go to work. Slashes tires. Now let me ask you a question. That's for some reason, do a lot of people in the room had that response?
Then you won't be able to get out.
Right. Exactly. So that's everybody's quick response is slashes tires. And I always, when I hear that response, I say, and if you're going to slash tires, how are you getting out? I mean, perhaps your response should have been that I'm going to get a few people. I'm going to push his car away. I'm going to get a tow truck and drag his car away, even though his car is going to get damaged. That already would be a very good question. Are you allowed to do that or not? The concept is called self-help, right? I mean, everybody's familiar. There was one very famous case in the news last year where there was a certain person who was at home. It was a trespasser came into his house. What's the first thing he did? He took his gun, he shot the person. Before he knew it, he was facing charges for murder, right? And that's called self-help, right? Taking the law into your own hands. So, what's that? So what we're going to spend the time by this shiur is to go through the question, what is the Torah's view on taking the law into your own hands? And I know that there was a big drive in the shul lately. You know, Kanayin Hayar, the Olam is Yireim and Shleimim, everybody's trying to have Aliyah and Avodas Hashem. So suddenly you have, you know, B'nai Torah becoming Shechtim. That's the latest thing. People are learning how to do Shechita. They're sharpening knives whenever you see them. It's maybe that may have some connection to the subject. And there's a very interesting tshuva in the Chavos Yoah. The Chavos Yoah is the following tshuva. There was a person that had a neighbor who had chickens. And the chickens constantly crossed over a path into his neighbor's yard in order to eat the food of his neighbor, right? So what did the neighbor do? He had a very simple solution. Baruch Hashem, he trained to be a shochet. The next time his neighbor's chicken came over the line of his property, he took his chalif, he sharpened it, he shechted the other person's chicken, and when it came to dinner that night, he approached his neighbor, who was expecting to go to the chicken coop to get some eggs from his chicken, and he gave him back his geshachten the chickens. Right? A tshuva in the Chavos Yoah, believe it or not. So we'll discuss these type of questions, and then by the time we're done, the Olam will have a heck of on this very beautiful subject. Now the emes is that there is a full siman in Shulchan Aruch that actually addresses this question. Where's the siman in Shulchan Aruch that addresses this question? You open up a Chayshin Mishpat, you get to Simen Dalet, and the heading on the Simen, in Simen Dalet and Shulchan Aruch is, Ketzad Odam Oise Din Le'atzmai. How, when can you do din, right? When can you apply justice for yourself? When do you have a right to take the law into your own hands? And the Mechaber tells us, and this is the Torah to give you, Yochoil Odam Lasois Din Le'atzmai. So even though, you know, I'm sure many of you are familiar with the law, there are different states. If you can do self-help, you can do self-help. But from a Shulchan Aruch perspective, a person is allowed to take the law into his own hands. That's the way the Mechab and Shulchan Aruch paskins. Im royeh shaloi b'yad acha, if I see something of mine that's in the hand of another person, for example, shegazloi, somebody stole something from me, yochoil lekachtoi miyadoi, the person is allowed to take it away from him. I had an interesting dentira a couple of years ago. You'll hear the dentira, you'll think about this case. I had a story with Reuven and Shimon. Shimon owed Reuven $25,000 because of a certain business deal that he did with him. So Shimon owed Reuven $25,000. Reuven comes to the Torah, takes to Shimon to the Torah, comes out with a tefillah, he says, you owe me $25,000. Shimon says, in this Torah, he says, what are you talking about? He says, Hamotzi mechaveri olav lahevi haraya, you don't have any real proof, and since you don't have real proof, so I'm not going to pay you. Maisa shehoyi, this is what happened. So we have a concept that whoever is the muchsik will win this Torah, right? Hamotzi mechaveri olav lahevi haraya, whoever is the muchsik will win when you can't prove. As they're sitting there in the Torah, Reuven with a big smirk on his face turns to Shimon and he says, Shimon, I want you to know something. I won because I am the muchsik. He says, really? You're the muchsik? What do you mean? I owe you the money. He puts his hand into his pocket and he takes out a very shiny gold Rolex out of his pocket and he says, you see this? So the guy says, yes. He says, how do you have that? He says, what do you mean how I have it? When you were sitting and davening this morning, Shachris, in the Bes Medrash, and you took off your watch because you put on your tefillin, you put this on your talis bottle. I walked by, I knew you owed me $25,000. I knew I wanted to become a muchsik on $25,000 of yours, but I wasn't waiting. What did I do? I took your watch, I put it in my pocket. You thought it was lost, right? It wasn't lost, it's sitting right here. Now I'm the muchsik. And I win the din Torah. Nu, Rabbi, say, how do you pass in this din Torah? Gerecht, nish gerecht? What did you say? Huh?
Shimon became the Meitz Chaver.
So now Shimon became the Meitz Chaver. Over heavy arayas. So there's two questions. Number one, how you pass in the din Torah? A person that went and inflicted self-help on his own. And the second question is, was Shimon allowed to do that? Was Shimon allowed to grab the
one? By force.
What's that, to recover by force? What's that?
It's a
pikadon by force. We call that self-help, is what we call that. And that's exactly what this question is. But read the Mechab and Shulchan Aruch. The Mechab and Shulchan Aruch says, Yachal Adon Lasses Din Liatzmai, Imroya Sheloi Beyad Acha Shegozloi. Let's say I know you stole something from me. You hear? Listen to what the Mechab says. Mechab says, if I know you stole something from me, what am I allowed to do? Yachal Akachtoi Miyodoi, I can steal it back. Let's say I go and so the Mechaba starts with a much simpler case. I walk into the shul one day and I see you wearing my watch. So what do? I grab back my watch. What do? You try to take it back from me. The Mechaba paskins, Yochel HaKoisoi. What are you allowed to do next? Right? And what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Al Pi Torah, what's a person allowed to do? He's allowed to beat him up. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, of course, today, you're all law-abiding citizens in the United States of America. You're not going to do that. But from a Mechaba's perspective, if somebody stole something from you and you want to recover it, and the guy's not giving it back to you, you can take the law into your own hands, and you can grab it, and you can take it back from him, and you can beat him up. Im lo yochel lahatzel b'inyanacha. The Ramah says, if there's no other way to save it. If there's another way to save it, then you shouldn't be getting into a fight. Afilu hu dover she'ein by hefsit, im yamten ad she'yamideni bedin, v'hu, but the Mechaba has one rule to that. And what's the added rule? She'yuchal livaro she'shelo yinoitel bedin. If I can prove, when I come to Din Torah afterwards, that it's really mine. So that's what the Mechaba says. The Mechaba is a very big believer in self-help. Now, I say the Kesef HaKadoshim, who is the very famous B'tshut Sheruv, asked the Mori D'Gekasha. Okay, so all of you remember a Gemara Masechtas Brachos. At the end of the first Perek, there was a very famous Amora that had certain issues in his life. And the Rabbanim came to visit him, and he had a very large amount of money. He lost all kinds of different stories the Gemara brings. So the Gemara says they approached him, and they said to him, La'ayin mar bimilayu. You know, you're having all these problems. Why don't you just look into your actions to see what you've done? So what does he say back? He says, what, do you think I've done something wrong? So they say, you think the Rabbi Yishan did something wrong? Back and forth. At the end, he says, did you hear something wrong that I did? They said, yeah, we'll tell you a story. We know that you don't give shibisha la'arisa, which means you have an oris, you have to make payroll, and we know you don't pay his salary. So this Amora turned back to his other friends and said, you want me to pay salary? He steals so much that there's nothing left for me to pay salary. He's such a gun. If I'm just stealing back from him my money. So the Gemara says, they said to him, now we figured out the problem. What's the problem? Chazal tell us, bus ganve ganoiv, steal from the ganev, V'tametoyim, exactly. You're going to get a flavor of what it means to be a ganav. So the kesef hakadoshim asked the Mari the Gekasha, what do you see from the Gemara that you're not allowed to steal from somebody that steals from you? Because what happens, you learn how to become a ganav. And here in the Mechav and Shulchan Aruch, very clearly paskin, that if you know a person stole from you, you can steal the item right back, and there's no issue. So the kesef hakadoshim says, the Gevaldige Chiddush, and he says that, and this becomes a big machloikis, the shach, the sma, the machaba, there's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, but I'll just say the chiddush so you should hear it, because like this we'll hear the case that everybody agrees on. The case that everybody agrees on is the case when the item that I'm taking back from you is specifically the item you took from me. So the case that I told you, when I see one of you wearing my watch, I'm allowed to go and take it away, and if you don't want to give it to me, I'm allowed to beat you up, the Mechaba says. That case is L'chol Hadeis. Why is that case L'chol Hadeis? Because that's the specific item that was taken from me. The second case, what's the second case? The second case is when I'm not taking the same item from you, but rather what am I taking? A different item, and that item is called collateral. There already you have a big machloikis ha-poiskim, if you're allowed to do it or not. And lamaisa, there are plenty of poiskim that say that if I'm grabbing an item in order to become a muchsik, I'm allowed to do so. Now, in grabbing an item to become a muchsik, many of you remember the first parak of Bava Metzia, there's a sugya called Tokfei Koyen. The question is how he grabbed it, if he grabbed it in front of Edim, he didn't grab it in front of Edim. There's another question, if you grabbed it after there was a suffix, before there was a suffix. So that question becomes gray when you become a muchsik, when you don't become a muchsik. But there also is what to be soimach on to grab in that type of a case. Very often, a person owes you money. You owe him money. So what does he do? He sends you a bill. So what do you say to him? You'll pay my bill, I'll pay your bill. Because you never want to give up the leverage if you have the money already in your hand, even though you're going past the deadline, over 30 days, you don't pay. That already is a case where it's easier to do a tfisa, and it would seem to be it's universally acceptable. But the Mechaba went and added one more case, and the Mechaba said one case that everybody agrees you can't do it. And what's that? L'mashkenoi b'choivoi. So what's the case of l'mashkenoi b'choivoi, which we all agree you can't do self-help? That's the case. Let's say I knew that you owe me money. You owe me money. So what do I do in order to get you to pay me back money? I grab a mashken. That already is usur. Everybody say, why is that case worse than the other cases when it comes to mashkoinis? Because remember, what's that?
Special lav in the Torah.
Oh, because there you're getting into a special lav in the Torah, right? Loi sovi yabaisa, right? This hashavas ha'avoid. So the Torah already had guidelines where the Torah protected when it came to mashkoinis. So mashkoinis already is going to be a exception to this rule where usually a person is not allowed to do any of these things. Okay, and by the way, it's very interesting. The Ramah brings different dayas. The Ramah brings one daya that it takes a very kulidiga view that the only time that you're not allowed to be toifis is when you're going to go and you're going to beat the other person up. But when you're not beating the other person up, you can grab money b'choloifin. That's what the Ramah brings in the name of a marik. And you end up with many interesting shitas on this question. As a matter of fact, the Ramah brings another case here. The Ramah brings a case, a guy has a worker that works for him and he's a ganif, and he can't get rid of him. So the Ramah says, he tells him to leave. The guy refuses to leave. According to the Ramah, the person is allowed to beat up a person that's a trespasser if he can't get him out in any other way. That's very interesting. So it's interesting. You spoke about taking the law into your own hands. Today it's not a good idea in the United States with our civil legal system. But from a Torah digger perspective, there are many cases that a person is allowed to take the law into his own hand, and there is no issue. Now, I've mentioned to you that Baruch Hashem, because we're dealing with all these sheikhtim here in the room, and they want to deal with all of these shilas. So let's talk about shechita. You see, another person has an animal. The other person's animal is really irritating you. The other person's animal is getting in your way. What would be the halacha? When would a person have a right to go after another person's animal, and when is a person not allowed to go after another person's animal? Lura Baisa, come on, Bava Kama. Do you remember a case in Bava Kama where you're allowed to go and kill another person's animal? Do you have such a case? Well, we all know of one case that the Gemara tells us. What was the case you all remember? The Gemara speaks about a shur she'ola, a shur that went, your shur went, climbs onto the back of my shur, and your shur is about to damage my shur. So what does the Gemara say? I have a right to go and remove your shur. And if I can't remove your shur from damaging my shur, and the only way I can do it is how, Rabbi Say, by damaging him, by pulling mine out and yours falling down, I'm allowed to do it. So suddenly you see a very interesting Gemara. You see the Gemara where the Gemara says that if you have a case where you have a shur, and the shur is a mu'it to damage other people's animals, what's the halacha? You're allowed to do so. I'm going to read you into Santa Mechav and Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shin Tzadik Zayin, see what the Mechav says in Shin Tzadik Zayin, all the way at the end of Chayshim Mishpat, and this is Siv based, the Mechav says, okay, Hakatzovim, no? What do you do with the butchers? Sheyesh lehem behemes lishchoit b'yoyim ashuk. They have animals, they bring it to the Yom HaShuk to shech them. Im hei mazikos, right, if they're damaging animals, afilu b'shus harabim, masrim b'baylim gimel pa'amim. So a guy's a butcher, and he has a whole bunch of animals, and he brings his animals to the Yom HaShuk, and the other guy's animals have an issue that they damage other people's chayra. So you warn them three times. Vim loy shamram. If a guy doesn't watch his animal properly after you warn him three times, the Mechaba Paskins, Rishoy Hanizik Lishachtam, you're allowed to go to the other guy's animal, shecht it, Shchitik Sheira, as long as you shecht it in the kosher, they go away. V'oimrim Labailim, and you say to the Bailim, Boy Imachri Habasa Shalachem. Rabbi, say, think about the picture. You have another guy has an animal, tends to damage your animal, what do? You take out your chalif, you shecht the other guy's animal, you give it back to him dead, as meat, right? And what do? And you say to him, go, here's your meat, right? So, you know, it's right, literally, you say to him, you know, your dead meat, this is what it is. You actually give it to him in this form. That is a mefurish mechava in Shulchan Aruch, okay, which is one case, which how you deal with a behema, which the behema is a behema hamazeke. So that's the first case, which is interesting. Now, but what's very interesting about the mechaba is the mechaba doesn't say that if you have another guy's animal that's coming to damage your animal, you're allowed to kill the animal. Note, the mechaba doesn't say that. The mechaba says that if you can turn the other guy's animal into meat, you have a right to do that. But to actually go and kill the other person's animal, you're not allowed to. Now, everybody say, why not? Because in order to kill the other person's animal, you gotta have a dentire. If you can kill the other person's animal, but in order to go and turn the other person's animal into meat, that already you're allowed to do, because this shur becomes a shur, which is a shur ha'imid l'shchita, and once you want it three times, that would be okay. Now, to take care of all the shur, who else is doing shchita besides you over here? Oh, he didn't show up. He knew already. He was afraid of the subject, I see. He didn't want to show up tonight. Now, I'll read you the Tshuvas Chavis Yoh, which I mentioned before. Chavis Yoh says, Mi shahoye tarnegoilus shel shcheinoi, oicheles mi kitniyis shel lefnei chanisa. You got a problem that his neighbor's tarnegoilus was coming to eat the kitniyis, his little seeds and his beans in front of his house. Whenever the other guy's bird comes, he kicks it and flies away, keeps on coming back. He doesn't know what to do. He told the Baal Tanigoylus many times that he should watch them. He warned him. He says, listen, if you don't watch your bird, it's going to come back to you as a dead duck. That's the story that the Chavis Yoah says. So he's v'loy choshesh l'kach. The guy's not impressed. He's not afraid he's going to kill him. Ipam achas kashabo horik echas mayhen oimedes legadol beim v'froichim. V'toyin balachanis. The guy of the store argues. What is he arguing? Shebemokim seida avashinish din l'nafshei. Right? That's the tshuva of the Chavis Yoah. Now, there's a very interesting tshuva of the Chavis Yoah. I have terrible news for you, that even though there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch that says that Ovid Inish Din L'Navshei is Muta, the Chavis Yoh in this case paskins that he did the wrong thing, and he has to pay him back for the chicken. And the question is, why? And you have many different discussions in it himself. He goes into the case of the Gemara, how is it different? And the Paiskim start to be mechalic what the possible difference are. So firstly, by the case which Luzi mentioned, by the case with the animal that went up on the animal, the other animal, it says really all you're doing is you're being shaymet your animal. So since you're being shaymet your animal, so therefore whatever happens to the other person's animal is too bad. Secondly, you have another option. Perhaps you can go and you can build a gate. Right? The birds, it's a little bit difficult. But the Poskim seem to be skeptical, and they try to say that that case that you mentioned in the Gemara and Bava Kamma is a very narrow case. Now I'm going to read you what Rabbi say, Shuvas Masham. Masham also dealt with a very interesting case. His case goes as follows. He says, Imuta lefazer sam hamoves besoich sadeu, shabahemus hanachnosis lesham lahazik yomisu. Another guy, there were two neighbors. The neighbor had a problem. What was the problem? And the other guy's animals kept on coming into his property. So he figured, I have a great idea. Instead of building a fence, on the perimeter to my property, I'll just go and put down a whole bunch of poison. And once I put down poison on the perimeter of my property, anybody's animal that comes in automatically dies. Right? Mutter or not, right? This is much simpler than the Shechita Eitzer, right? You just go straight to poison and you don't have an issue. So he speaks about Tsar Balachayim versus Tsoyrich Odom. It's a very interesting tshuva. Then he tries to bring, the Masham tries to bring a raya from the Chavis Yoh, that the Chavis Yoh had this case, and he taka said that it's Osa. Okay, and he says as follows. He says, technically speaking, it should be mutter, because this case you're not actively killing the other person's animal. You're warning him. If you walk into my property, there's going to be
Do you have to warn before?
Oh, so he speaks about warning. And now he speaks about warning at the end of Masham Asis, because the Masham says, because there are other options. He says your other option is you can build a fence. But the Masham's conclusion seems to be that if you warned him and he doesn't stop doing it, then you're allowed to put the poison at your fence, because that becomes a case of self-protection, a case of self-help, which would be a case that a person would actually allowed to do. They also, the poison, by the
way,
want
to put in poison stomazine?
What's that?
You have strychnine. You want to store it outside. You allowed to do it?
What do you mean? You're allowed to put your poison
yeah,
what?
You have strychnine. You want to put it outside in your yard.
Yeah.
Because you don't want it in your house. Are you allowed to do that?
What, stomp to put the poison
yeah,
out?
Because you want to store it in your yard.
He's saying basically it's in my field. Like, why?
Oh, you mean why do you have to?
I can do it if I want to.
In other words, I like.
Yeah, no, you're saying that the Gemara says that when you're coming into my Rishus. In my Rishus, I'm allowed to do whatever I want. So technically speaking, it's not the Maisa B'Tayach Shaloi. Okay, but here, you know clearly the animal's coming, there's intent. Why don't we ask the question differently? We'll ask the question, if you went and you actually put some of this, and the animal actually came in, and the animal actually ate, what would be the halacha in that case, right? I mean, perhaps the halacha would be, it may be, by the way, you may not be chayiv anyways, because I actually went and I actually gave poison to your animal, from a Tardig perspective, I may be potter anyways. Why is that?
Huh?
Grama slash a little go define that a little further. Grama still chayiv v'dinei shemayim. Huh? Close. It's called hezek shein nikar. Hezek shein nikar lo shmei hezek. If I went and I put poison into your food and you can't eat, this is actually a case in Shulchan Aruch. If I went and I put poison into your food and now you can't eat your food because your food has poison in it, it may be a hezek shein nikar. Hezek shein nikar is only yasim mishim knas. And knas bezman hazeh, the bezin's not goyva. So that may be another reason why it may not be negeya, this question bezman hazeh. Okay?
These cases are only if somebody owns an animal. A loose cat or a loose dog running around.
Mm-hmm. Well, that already, you end up going into. You mean it's not yours, it's Hefka?
Not yours.
So then it doesn't seem to be, there's an Isser, right? There's no problem. It's only the Isser seems to be because it belongs to another person. Which case is Grama? Uzi, which case? What's the case you debate?
I want to know why poison would be a Grama.
He's saying it's Grama. The reason he's saying it's Grama is because I didn't tell him to eat it, he came and he ate it on his own. Yeah, correct.
If you actually fed the animal.
If you actually fed the animal, then you're going into the next question of hezek shein nikar. If you actually put it down, then it's grama. He's correct.
It's kind of nikar.
It's not nikar. It's not nikar because poison, most poison, it's tasteless, it's colorless, you don't see poison.
If you inject an animal with poison,
yeah,
that's also hezek shein nikar?
What's that?
If you inject an animal with poison, is that also hezek shein nikar?
You want to know if the area of the injection creates something which is nikar.
It's the same kind.
There are many poisons, by the way, that have no color to them, right? No color, they're tasteless, they're odorless, and if that's the case, Gases, new stuff.
I don't know if that makes it any nicker. I mean,
it's not nick. It's not physically. Physically, you will not be able to recognize it.
If I cover a knife with something that they can't see, is that any nicker? The question is not just you can't see it. The question is not clearly there.
If it's
like germs, for example.
Germs is exactly the same question.
But that's not the same thing here. We're talking about an actual physical thing that does damage
when
put in the proximity of the animal.
Right.
So it's not. It's hard to call it any nicker. I mean.
So we can talk about this more after the share. Now, Abrumi told me I should not finish past midnight, so give me just another couple of minutes. I know I would try to finish by 9:30. I want to finish another stuff. After the share, we'll go into this in a little more detail. But the pashut is, if you don't see it, it's not considered a hezek. She'ena nika, that's the pashtus, what it is considered. Okay, everybody said, let's say. Now, we said we're going to talk about another question.
My neighbor's cats is not a problem. They come into my neighborhood, and oh, I think I should leave the poison out to eat them, it'll be okay.
The Masham asked it, because Masham says there are other ways of protecting yourself.
Does that work?
Build a fence, what?
Cats?
Build a fence.
He wants to know Lamaisa. He wants to know Lamaisa.
How much money do you have to spend in order to avoid that?
What's that?
Put it out with a
shinny, not with a grommel, with a shinny.
How much money do you have to spend before you...
No, Rabbi said, listen, I'm giving you my Mekayim, it's a Solom Shulchan Aruch, it's a big, you know, I don't know, I took out three simonim of, three chalakim of Chayshu Mish, but everybody said to me, so many svarim, so don't worry, I'm leaving you all with the Mar Mekayim, you go through them, and you'll figure this out later, Bezat Hashem. Rabbi said, let's talk about another Shaila, right? There's so many different Shailas to talk about. You know, there's somebody wrote a Sefer recently, it's a fellow's today, the name of the Sefer is Netzach Yisrael. I don't believe we'll have a chance to discuss, you know the different things that he has in the sefer. Simon Mem Gimel, the fellow by the name of Rabbi Grossman, he has this whole shaila. Two people, one is building next to the other person, and he keeps on putting down different materials that has fumes, and it keeps on going into the other person's house. How the neighbor should deal with it? But these are relevant shailas, Rabbi. So you know, it sounds like when you start talking about the subject, it's an exciting subject. When you start to dissect each question, they're very negating a question. So one of the questions that were asked over here, and we actually said, and we had the great reaction. So another person goes, he parks your car. He parks his car. Where does he park his car? Right in front of your property, he parks your car, right? That's his car. Very common thing. You try to get out of your driveway. What happens? There's somebody parked there, right? And usually about 6 hours later, he comes running out. He says, "Oy vey, I forgot all about it." No. So what are your rights? What are you allowed to do?
You're supposed to block him in.
Huh?
You're supposed to block him in. When he calls you, can you move your car, please? I said, I'll do it in the morning.
Yeah, but if he's outside, how are you blocking him in? Come on, huh? What's your plan? Listen, we'll talk. So everybody said, everything as we're discussing, everything has to have a Makor and Chazal. We can't go and go through these cases on our own. There has to be a case, right? The Torah is Nitzchias. There's a case for everything in the Gemara. So what's the closest case that you can remember from the days of learning Bava Kamma to this case? No, the only one remembers the case. The Gemara in Bava Kamma tells us the following story. The Gemara tells in Bava Kamma that if a person goes and he is memala his friend's chotzer with all, what's that? You remember the case? With all of his kadim.
You're going to share.
Oh.
I'm just interrupting. You're going to share.
Oh. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says the following case. You take you're in the middle of transporting all of your pottery, right? And all of your barrels of whatever you're transporting. So what do? You take 100 different, barrels. And what do? I place it right in front of your chotzer. That's the case that the Gemara brings. The rabbi say, what is the halacha? So the Gemara says that the person that leaves, Meshabah v'yotze, Meshabah v'nichnas. It's a Lashna Gemara, right? Meshabah v'yotze, Meshabah v'nichnas. He breaks on his way out and he breaks stuff on his way in. Isn't that interesting? What's that? Exactly. The Gemara says every time you walk, that's an interesting lashon. You don't have to be makfid, right? If you walk the other way, what's that? In my property. But what do you see from this? Because I have a legal right. I have a right to leave. You're taking away my right. So if you're taking away my right, other ma'aser din li'atzmoi. And again, Chazal say that you're only allowed to do what you need to do in order to get away with the damage that's being inflicted on you. Of course, you can't do extra damage. Now, I might say, while we're on the subject, I think it's kedai to get a little bit of an understanding of another subject, and we'll come back a bit to the subject at the end. It's very common while you go into the subject, of course, Rabbi Saidi, one of the most frightening things that a person ever wants to do is gezel. Nobody wants to steal. As a matter of fact, Chazal tell us that if a person steals, there's a very famous Yishalmi, you know that? Yishalmi says, we know that they are gimel chamiris, that a person has to yarek val yavler, and what are those three? We know about the zara, gilei arayis, and shrichas damim. Yishalmi says that there is a fourth. What's the fourth? Genevim. Believe it or not, Yishalmi says that if a person needs to steal to save his life, he's not allowed to steal. And if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Kuf Nun Vav, in Yerideya, where it actually speaks about the Yarek Valyavler. So if you look on the side, in the Mashal goes and he adds on. He says, what are you talking about? There's one more, the Chachma Shloima says. And what's that? He says there is Gneva. If a person sees he's in a matziv where he needs to steal to save his life, so the Paiskim say that he's allowed to steal if he intends to pay back. Because that's not true Gneva, because it's stealing it on the condition to pay back. Fine. Rabbi said, the common question, you know, the item goes away in the summer, you go to the bungalow colony, you go to other places. So you go into your friend's house, you open up the refrigerator, and you're waiting for him. And what do you see there? You see a nice Diet Coke. No? Nice cold glass of Diet Coke in the middle of the summer. Rabbi said, are you allowed to drink the cup or not? What's your answer, Rabbi said? Yes or no?
Somebody else's answer.
No. Great answer. Why is the answer no? So let's talk about why the answer is no. And when he comes back, he looks at you with square in the eye and he says, are you serious? You were in my house and you didn't take a cold drink? Right? That, you know, that's going to be his response when he comes back, right? And still you answered no. Now why do you answer no? Let's talk about this no. So Chazal tell us the following story. There's a Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia and Eilu Metzias that the Gemara says that Amemer and Mazitra suddenly come visit this beautiful garden, and there was a third Amor with them whose name is Ravina. The three of them walk into this beautiful garden, and the Oris comes and serves them beautiful fruit. So the Gemara says that when the Oris serves them the fruit, so Amemer Mazitra ate, Ravina said, I'm not eating. So they said to him, why are you not eating? So he didn't respond. Then the Balabas came, and the Balabas looks around and he says, is that the best stuff you can give to these Rabbanim that come? The Rabbanim come. Why don't you give them the best fruit that we have? So Amema Mazutra look at Ravina and say, no, now why don't you start eating? And he doesn't respond. He says, he's only saying so because he's embarrassed. Taisvis on the spot asks somebody the Gekasha. Taisvis asks as follows. What are you talking about? No? Let's go back to your question. At the end of the day, when the guy walks into the room, what is he going to say? He's going to say, why didn't you eat? And you know that. He's going to say, why didn't you take a cold drink on a hot day? Isn't that what he's going to say? So why are you not allowed to do it? So Taisvah says, a half of the Gechidosh. Here's the Chidosh. Taisvah says, we have a halacha called Yish Shloi Midas Loi Have a Yish. What does it mean, Yish Shloi Midas Loi Have a Yish? That when I pick up a chefetz, if a person doesn't know that he lost it, therefore there's no Yish, it's considered stealing. So listen to the Gevaldik Yechidish that Taisvah says. When I drank that cup of Diet Coke, did you know that I was drinking it, that you can be Miyayish in order to give it to me? Of course not. So when I drank it, it was Geneva. That's what Taisvah says. What's going to happen? Later, you're going to find out. You're going to say, why didn't you drink it? But since B'Shas Mai said it was no Yish, the Yish doesn't work retroactively. That is the Shita of Taisvis. Rabbi say a tremendous Chiddush, the Shach in Chayish Mishpat comes and he disagrees with Taisvis. You don't usually find this concept. Why does the Shach disagree with Taisvis? Because the Shach disagrees with Taisvis. He says that no, when does Yish Shloi Midas not work? By a Aveda. But when a person's going to give it to you as a gift, the Shach wants to be mechadish that it's going to work. The Ktzois says to the Shach, Rabbi Gevaldik Job, you can't disagree with Taisvis, and the Ktzois paskins like Taisvis. Okay? Now, very interesting, this the Eish Lavram, who was not the Kesef HaKadosh Mechashim Mishpat, but the B'chut Sharuf in his Sefer on Shulchan Aruch HaRechayim and Simon Yud Dalet, brings an interesting story. He says that he had a minig. His minig was that he got older, he couldn't hear that well. So when it came Monday and Thursday to Kriyas HaTorah, he would take a walk to the Bima, and he would listen to Kriyas HaTorah. There was a person who was there who had a siddur, and he always knew he used that person's siddur by the shtender when he got close to the Kriyas HaTorah. So he asked the Kashan himself, how was I allowed to use that siddur? The person never gave me permission. Huh? You want to go into Nicha? We'll talk about that in a moment. That's the next discussion that we have to have. So he says, because he let me use it many times, which is an interesting concept. So if the guy let you drink his Diet Coke many times in the past, that already becomes mutter. Or if it's like a Dove Mu'at, the Machne Ephraim says, that it's an Umdana, that everybody allows you, that already becomes mutter. But then the Paiskim say there's a concept called Nicha Le Inish Lamev Mitzvah Maina. Now Nicha Le Inish Lamev Mitzvah Maina is a very interesting concept. Why is it a very interesting concept? Because the concept of Nicha has to be that the guy is not going to have a certain loss. So for example, Mishnah Berurah paskins that if I walk into shul and I forget to bring my tefillin one morning, so I'm allowed to go to another person and take his tefillin. Why am I allowed to take his tefillin, right? Why am I allowed to do that? Because every person is maskim nichle linish lememis b'moine. The Shevet HaLevi Rav Ozen has a tshuva. He says that if you come into a shul and you didn't bring your talis and you borrow another person's talis, he holds that you shouldn't put the talis over your head. You shouldn't be such a tzaddik. You should daven with the borrowed talis only over your shoulder. He says nobody says nicha b'zman hazeh to have another person sweat in your talis. That's what Rav Ozen is mechadish. He says today you should take. That's a good argument. But on the there's a concept, you're saying that it doesn't go down in value. There's machloik is between the Nesivis and the Pesois. It's loy mechasroi, is an issim in the Raisa, issim in the Rabbanan, big nafkaminas and lamas. Let's not go into that specific question right now. Now, what's another halacha of Nicha? Let's go into another halacha of Nicha. The other halacha of Nicha is that where do you daven with the tefillin? You have to go and daven in the same place. Why have to daven in the same place? Because if you don't daven in the same place, then the guy is going to come and want his own tefillin, then there's no Nicha, even Nicha of mitzvah, right? By the way, what's the lumnus of a Nicha? So the Ksoi says that since it's Nicha Leila Inish, it becomes like an automatic permission. That's what the Ksoi is. Sid is an issue because Sid is rip. That's why the Aruch HaShulchan says only Svarim with his Ian B'Alma. Ian B'Alma. Also, the Mishnah Berurah is Machadish that using another person's tefillin that's mutal, Snicha, is only when you do it once in a while. If you do it every single day, every day, here's another shayla. There's a shuv in the Tiftan Vatas from Shlomo Kluger where he declares if you're allowed to go and be a gitter with the inyan of Nicha. You know, some people are bright in the shumas. So when you see another person coming to his Spanish, oh, has tefillin? You go and you take Yenis tefillin, you give it to the other guy with the mitzvah of Nicha, right? That's the lumdus that the Tiftan Vatas declares. And a lot of very fascinating shaylas. Rav Moshe actually has a very interesting shuva. He speaks about if a woman is allowed to borrow another person's luliv mitam nicha, because the whole cheshbon is nicha leinish lemev mitzvah b'moinai. But women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah of luliv. Perhaps they shouldn't have the heta. So Rav Moshe is mechadish a gevaldige chiddush. He says tzitzis talis, which is the case that's brought down in the Russian Masechta Schulin, for men there was not mechuyev to wear tzitzis. It's only if you have a beggar of the alt campus. So it's a mitzvah saseh. So therefore, so it's the same thing for women if they want to be mechayev themselves in the mitzvah. Reb Shlomo Kluger has also another interesting tshuva where he declares if you're allowed to borrow another person's kittel, right? They send you over to the Besmedrash for geshem for tal. You want to put on a kittel, you don't have your own kittel. So he declares, do you say that a kittel is a mitzvah or not? The Pashtus Nicha means in Yonish Shal Mitzvah. No, how about to borrow another person's gartel? Can you borrow a gartel mitam Nicha? It seems to me that the answer is yes, because that's also called a Chefetz, which is a Chefetz Shal Mitzvah. I'm just going to conclude with one very interesting tshuva, which this tshuva is written in the Oynig Yontif, and it's a Lamda Shigishmaka tshuva with a Chap. He takes back this Inyan of Nicha and this Inyan of and he talks about self-help, because we always have to end with a case of self-help. So it's a very fascinating truth in the Oynig Yontif. He tainas that if you see another person in the Bes Medrash has an Esrig and Lulav, and you don't have an Esrig and Lulav, it's not the first day of Yontif, because the first day of Yontif you can have a problem if it's not Lechem, if it's borrowed. And you go and you take it without permission, so usually it's Mutter. Why is it Mutter? Al Znichem. All right, you can always argue that when too many people use it, it turns brown. Everybody knows the famous Chassam Sofer, that an esrik that turned brown through Mishmish Hayad is Hidda Mitzvah, because that's what the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva. Some say it's Pasuk, Chassam Sofer says it's Hidda Mitzvah. Okay, very Gishmak. So he says as follows, the Oynig Yontif says, but how about one case everybody's masking? That if the Bailam is standing there, B'Shas Maitz, and he says, you're not allowed to take my item, then for sure you're not allowed to, because he's makbid. You're not allowed to, because then it's mechasroi. He says a gevaldige chiddush. He says if you want to take another person's luliv, and the other person doesn't give you permission to take it, you're allowed to take it and force him that you're going to use it. He says how come? He says a gevaldige chiddush. He says why is geneva asa? Because geneva is asa because it's mechasroi. Number one. Now how about your case when you're not going to make it worth any less? So he says then it's only asa because you don't plan to return it. But if I take your item, I'm not going to make it worth less, and I plan to return it, it's not real geneva. So therefore he says, when I take your lulav and I plan to return an esrog and I plan to return it later, it's not true geneva. But why is it usually asa? It's usually asa because you don't plan to return it, but you take it and you plan to return it, and it's a mitzvah, so then you can force the other person to let you use his mitzvah. That's a half of the gechidish in the Oynig Yontif. And Rabbi said, listen, the Oynig Yontif with this cheshben, fa'emphaz amayi de gekasha. No, we just finished Kedushin Daf Yomi, not too long ago, right? Huh? A couple of months.
40 days ago.
40 days, right, a little longer. Right, Kedushin, the Oynig is still fresh in everybody's head. Huh? Right? What does the Gemara say in the end of Masechtas Kedushin? You remember what everybody has to say about Mamzerim in the end of Masechtas Kedushin? The Gemara, Kesef Atar Mamzerim, everybody remembers, right? That the Gemara remembers, right? What else did the Gemara say? The Gemara says the story with Reb Tarfon. What happened with Reb Tarfon? And Reb Tarfon says, I have a way to be Matar the Mamzerim with money, right? How do you Matar Mamzerim with money? What do? You take the Mamza. What does the Mamza do? He goes and he steals. After he steals, what happens? They sell him as an Eved. He has children. Eved ein lechayes. And you automatically matar his children. So the Oynig Yontif asks the Gevaldige Kasha, who gave him Rishus to steal? Right? You learn the Gemara. The Gemara, everybody's focused on the Mamzeres Shaila. Why doesn't everybody think for a second that how's he allowed to steal?
As you says.
Huh?
As you says, he don't.
Yeah, but why? Why is it Mutter?
It's
why?
Not.
Huh?
Rashi says the Gemara had a different answer, so it didn't use that. So that's why people don't ask, because they know the Rashi.
They learned the Rashi. Gevaldig. What's that? Oynig Yontif says another teretz, he says. He says, what's this teretz? Very good. He says, because why is Geneva Asa? Geneva is Asa because you're Machasroi, or because you don't plan to return it. But if you steal in order to return it, what? It's Asa. Why is it Asa? Because you're not allowed to do it. But when it's a mitzvah, you're allowed to do it, just like the case of Esrik. So since this person had to do a mitzvah, what was the mitzvah doing? Matam Mamzerim. And he was Matam Mamzerim, and he planned. But it's a gevaldige shtick. What's the shtick? At the end, you got to return the money. I just want you to know that according to this, comes out.
But then you're not sold as an Eved. Then you're not sold as an Eved.
What's that?
You're not sold as an Eved.
No, after the whole story, then he can go and he can work and return it.
You have the money.
I want to tell you something interesting. People don't realize there are afters to a lot of these cases. You know, Chazal say themselves Bava Kama. Chazal say that the Eved and the Isha and the Cotton Pigios and Ra, right? The Gemara say never start up with a woman or a child. Why? Because Heim Shechavli Bacherim, if they start up with you, if you start up with them, you have to pay. They start up with you, you don't have to pay. That's what Chazal tell us, right? So there's a Tshuvas Ramah. The Ramah says, a Maisa, a Zoy. The Ramah says that if there's a case where a child went and was mazig when he was a young child, right? So he's pater. But the Ramah says that when he turns bar mitzvah, what should he do? He should start working. That's what the Ramah says.